Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 10, the first full paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Margaret D. on the 12 Steps, Anita L. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Penny L. C. and Robin P. Our reference numbers for the last two meetings, yesterday, Tuesday, 10 a.m. East Coast time meeting, the reference number is 15,489 or 15489. And for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast time meeting, the number is 15,498 or 15498. Our newcomer greeter today is Christina L., and making announcements will be Leslie M. And thank you all for your service. OA Preamble. OA, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Margaret D. to read the 12 steps.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. My name is Margaret D., and I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, recovered through God's grace and mercy. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous, 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Thank you, Margaret D., for your service. I will now ask Anita L. to read our 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity of the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Anita L., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 10, the first full paragraph. I will ask Penny L.C. to begin reading. Hi, Penny.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for your service and good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Page 10. He talked for hours. Childhood memories rose before me. I could almost hear the sound of the preacher's voice as I sat on still Sundays, way over there on the hillside. There was that proffered temperance pledge I never signed, my grandfather's good-natured contempt of some church folk and their doings, his insistence that the Fears really had their music, but his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen, his fearlessness as he spoke of these things just before he died. These recollections welled up from the past. They made me swallow hard. That wartime day in Winchester Cathedral came back again. And that's the end of the reading. So for context, so Bill is sitting with Ebby, and Ebby has come to share with him. And he's talking about, Ebby's sharing with him what this religious experience is that he's had recently and wants to share it, and how that has allowed him to be able to become sober. And Bill, of course, is sitting there very hungover and having just been actively drinking as well. But what this does is, if someone's, you know, I can reflect on that. I can see someone talking all about this information that sort of makes sense to you, but you sort of tune it out, and then you start thinking about things that come back to you as memories. And so he's thinking about his religious experiences and how he just sort of shunned the religious experience that was offered to him, and just sort of poo-pooed it, and you know, the way his grandfather was so convicted about his feelings. So it's pieces of past religion, and I can look back at my own pieces of past religion when I came into program and was offered the idea that I could have a God of my own understanding. That really made a difference, because the God of my understanding that I was raised with didn't work for me. And so Bill's being offered a new way also here. But what is that reflection when he thinks about Winchester Cathedral? Well, I believe what's flooding back to him is that when he looked at that tombstone and realized though that was an ominous warning which he failed to heed, well, that has to do with the drinking and how it is not an answer to his problem. It creates more of a problem. And the fact that this soldier at the tombstone didn't die by the war, he died by his alcoholism. And that's, you know, being offered to Bill at that young age, that could happen to him as well. For me, I was offered different experiences. I had infertility issues with carrying extra weight. I can now look back and see that. I had cancer, not once, but twice, stage 4, and was brought back from that. God was trying to get my attention that my compulsive overeating was not doing me any favors physically. But I ignored that and continued to rely on my binging for comfort. So it took the ominous warning for me of realizing that things had to get completely out of control. The food was 24/7. I couldn't think about anything except food. I was shutting my family out. I was shutting out of life. I was isolating. I was miserable. And finally, I was willing to hear the message and grateful for every day since. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC, for getting us started today. Okay, I'm going to take names of people who would like to share now. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, which means if you shared in the last 2 days, that you would wait until others have had an opportunity to share. So who would like to share today? Anybody want to share today?
Manju O.
Manju, is that what you said?
Yes, Manju.
Thank you very much, Manju. Oh, who else?
And Bruce E., but tell me the reading again, please. Thank you.
Bruce,
I can share too.
It's page 10, the first full paragraph and the short one that follows it.
Thank you.
Sure. Who else would like to share?
Jody H. from Maine.
Jody H. And I'll take a couple more names. Anyone else?
Fiona C, UK.
Fiona C, thank you, Fiona. And one more, please.
Thank you.
Erica T.
Okay, Erica T, thank you. So we have Manju O, Bruce E, Jody H, Fiona C, and Erica T. Manju, please get us started.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Manju, a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Georgia. And I have this, one of the sentences or one of the phrases in this paragraph highlighted, his insistence that the spheres really had their music. And I could definitely relate to that feeling that there is some other power that's loving and beautiful and I think one of the gifts that I'm experiencing so far in coming back into OA after many years away and working the steps with a sponsor is that I am letting go of the need to have to know what exactly God is or higher power is. And I think that for so many years, in and out of program, I've been driven by this thing of I have to know, is it this God or that God or this philosophy or that philosophy? And now I'm just like, it just is, you know, and it's such a relief actually to feel like I don't have to have it defined or that it can evolve as my waking up evolves and abstinence evolves. It's a very new space for me to feel like I don't have to know everything about God or to think that I even could. You know, I guess that's the bigger thing is beginning to have some sense of letting go of having to have all the answers. And instead, just a little more permission to surrender and trust that I can keep learning and experiencing my higher power and don't necessarily have to intellectually define it. So that's just for me, and I'm very grateful for this meeting. It's really saved my life, and that's it for today. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Manju O. Bruce E., please share with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody on the line. Thank you very much for letting me share here. There's so much I want to talk about, but I want to talk about all of it, but I'll never get it all out. But anyway, this I wanted to talk about here the first, I could almost hear the sound of the preacher's voice as I sat on the still Sundays way over there on the hillside. And I'm picturing this church, you know, up in New England, somewhere, New Hampshire, wherever they were, really a beautiful setting of this church, you know, up there on the hillside. And this preacher, you know, windows open in the summertime, preacher's preaching. And he hears this going on. And then he's actually, I mean, it almost sounds like he's having a spiritual experience then, which he also goes on to say he had in the Winchester Cathedral. Sounds like he had a spiritual experience there too, because it reminded him of that. And he swallowed hard because his grandfather was who took him to church. I think he's living with his grandfather then. And his grandfather took him to church back then. But it scares me because it goes on to say that his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen, his fearlessness as he spoke of these things. So he was just like defiant, you know, about what he was hearing there. He didn't have that spiritual connection in that church situation. And I didn't exactly have that same situation. My mom kind of dragged me to the Lutheran church down the street from our home in Rockford, Illinois, and I still remember that. And I remember coming home, and I didn't get it. You know, I stayed pretty much an atheist for 20 years from that point, for between 20 and 30 years. But I remember, though, that afternoon, those afternoons many times after church, I'd have sort of this spiritual experience. I'd feel this freshness and this connection. And I just felt it. And I was like 10, 11, 12, 9 years old, and I could feel this, you know, kind of like that church over on the hillside that he's talking about here. But his grandfather rejected it, and now it's coming back to Bill. And he swallowed hard because he's remembering his grandfather's rejection of this, and the wartime day in the cathedral came back because he had that spiritual experience there at the cathedral. And I remember, and I can remember that back years and years ago, how I had that spiritual experience after coming out of that church, you know. But thank God I got into this program. I mean, I almost am thankful for the disease of the food addiction, because it brought me back around to beginning to look at this stuff and have these
time.
Experiences that I'm having. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Jody H., please share with us.
Yes, my name is Jody H. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. Yes, I really was blessed by this reading today. It was a reminder to me how much my higher power has helped me through this program to become what I am today. All those reminders, like Bill, all those reminders of this and that and this experience and that experience, I can't believe I am so stubborn to have needed so many reminders of my higher power's infinite power and wisdom. I was just thinking at breakfast today. I was just thinking, as I said grace over my food, how grateful I am on a daily basis for my higher power's help to manage my food plan and manage my life, not just my food plan, but my life, and how I have learned to rely on him no matter what comes my way. And I have an ability during this coronavirus to be closer to my higher power and give me wisdom, mask or no mask, go into the store with a mask on or not, and all those different things that I face now on a daily basis. I can still have a spiritual experience today without even having to questioned my belief in my higher power. So anyway, I am so appreciative of this meeting. I am vacationing in Florida, and I don't take a vacation from my program because my program is important to me because it's a life giver. And I just want you to know that I'm so grateful for a vision for you, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Jody H. Fiona C., please share with us.
Oh, hi. Hi there. Fiona C. from London in the UK. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and really grateful for the meeting. I've just, just come out of work and was able to tune in. So, and my spiritual experiences have been really, I've had some really acute, profound ones on about three occasions. One was when I was kind of on the floor after binging for about 18 months, really, when my illness was absolutely at its height. And I'd never heard of Overeaters Anonymous, and I was just in a position of saying, okay, God, if this is what you want for me, then I give up. And then I had a God thought, which was, well, if there's Alcoholics Anonymous for people that can't stop drinking, there must be Overeaters Anonymous for people that can't stop eating. And I'd never heard of the organization before. And I Googled it, and then I was in a meeting within a week. And I've had similar experiences like that where but it's always when I'm utterly, utterly surrendered, I've given up, there's nowhere else to go, that I turn to God. And I think what I need to remember is that God is there for me no matter what. In everything I do, every day, I only have to ask to receive that support. And that's what I struggle with, really. That's why my sponsor calls it rinse and repeat every day, the same formula for keeping well, you know, for recovery and for then keeping that recovery, is to just do the same things every single day. That's what I have to do, really, because I can easily forget. I go back into self-will very easily. So without this program, I would... Yeah, my God does not want me to be a compulsive overeater, a wreck, a heap on the floor. He wants me to be in the world, showing up and doing my best and spreading the message and being of use to others. Yeah, so with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Thank you for the meeting.
Thanks so much, Fiona C. And Erica T., please share with us.
Hi, this is Erica T. from Northern California. I wasn't really planning on sharing today, but then I just felt, I felt called, like there was, I needed to speak up. And I think that for me, that's part of my recovery, is being able to show up even when I'm wanting to kind of hold back. I woke up today with a bit of a struggle. You know, things are changing very quickly in my life, and this whole year has been full of so many changes, and I'm just struck by all the grief and all the loss that has happened this year. And it's so interesting, I tuned into the meeting this morning and we're talking about spiritual experiences, and it reminds me of a time in my life where I was driving this old rickety car, and I was starting to think, I really need a new car. And I had this very bad car accident. And the car was totaled, and I'm standing by the side of the road, and they load up the car on the, the truck, and they're driving it away. And I look up, and I notice the bumper sticker that I have on the back of my car, and it says, it's all good, except one of the O's was crossed out, so it really says it's all God. And I just said, I even said out loud, I was like, really, God? like this, I'm supposed to see the good in this too. And so tuning into the meeting this morning reminds me of that. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm waking up in a place of particular grief and sadness about the changes that are coming and the things I'll be leaving behind. And yet we're talking about spiritual experiences. And I'm like, there's God in this too. And that's the beauty of this program for me, is that there's God in all of this. And if I'm not stepping up and sharing wherever I'm at, even if it's from a place of sadness, and if I'm not trusting God to always have my highest good in mind, then I'm not on my spiritual path. And I will very quickly be back in the food and the eating, because that's my other God. That's my other source of comfort. And so this is the only way for me, is to be on this spiritual path. So I'm glad to be here this morning. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Erica T. Okay, I'd like to take some names. Who else would like to share?
Jane A.
Jane
Sam.
A.
Cheryl
A.
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Deb
Patty
E.
T.
Deb, I'm sorry, Deb, what was your last initial?
E.
E. Okay, thanks,
Pat. And Patty T.
Patty T.
Cheryl A.
Evan,
I have you, Sarah.
Oh, great, thank you.
Who was the last voice? I heard a male's voice.
Evan U.
Evan U.
Yes.
Is it Evan or Kevin? Okay, Evan. Okay, thank you. We'll stop there and we'll see how we go. Jane A, please share with us.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jane A from California, and on the phone list, it's J-A-Y-N-E. Man, that reading is really powerful for me, and I really identify in, you know, I came into OA thinking 7 years ago, thinking I knew all about God. I've had, you know, quote unquote, a very rich spiritual life. I've gone to India and studied meditation and lived in ashrams, and I've really believed in a power greater than myself. But I, you know, and I thought that that was what was going to carry me through. I thought that this belief in something greater, this like ego attached to my spirituality, that I could do it alone with this meditation, with God, with my intentions. And I remember being in India once and waking up after being there for 6 months and right after college. And I woke up after this incredible meditation. I had just meditated with a saint that day who was, and like hundreds of thousands of people were there. And I was laying in my room at the end of the meditation, and I woke up passed out, covered, like an amazing meditation, covered in candy wrappers. And I sat up and I literally was like, this is insane. Like, I'm going to such deep depths with my faith and with my, you know, in prayer. And yet I'm just like abusing my body and escaping and getting drunk. And that's when I knew, like, I can't do this alone. And so it's been a real adjustment for me to be in OA and to have to simplify everything. Like, the more sacred I think something is, the more I overcomplicate it. And I actually get really nervous in step two, like where it's come to believe, and, you know, my sponsor's like, well, define what you'd want your higher power to do for you. And I'm like, my perfectionism brain clicks in and I just freeze. I'm like, I don't even know how to define that. But what I'm finding right now, 10 days abstinent in this new vision way, which I'm so grateful for, is that I'm learning that I just need to start from basics and take my higher power off the pedestal. And really, my sponsor's encouraging me to say all the prayers in the book, but just practice talking to my higher power like a best friend and just honestly talk. And I struggle with honesty. I want to be perfect always. And Yeah, so the spiritual experience, for me, I thought I knew what it was, but I'm learning that I have overcomplicated it and twisted it. And I really haven't. For me, it's reaching out in this group. It's not doing this alone, and it's being honest. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jane A. Cheryl H., please share with us.
Was that Cheryl A.?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Cheryl A., yes. Please go ahead.
Okay, no worries. I'm just going to pull up the text again. So this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to share and be with all of you on this meeting. I really needed a meeting and missed the 7 a.m. What stands out to me from this reading is the context in which he's saying this, which is that he's just heard from his friend that he's, quote, got religion, and something is really, really different. He looks different. So I see, so Bill is like triggered to reflect on, well, wait a minute, what are my experiences with religion? What do I think about God? And what stands out to me so much is that he is, childhood memories rose before me. It's like it's a reference to the fact that he doesn't think about this that often. God, religion isn't a part of his daily life. And it reminds me that when I am deep into my disease, and that is on any level, whether it's into the food or whether it's into my behaviors because I'm not well treated as an addict, I block out God. And certainly my religion. My religion came to me actually after I finally began to reconnect with God. And it's been one of the biggest gifts of this program to reconnect with my own religion. But this paragraph, which brings up these memories that he then begins to kind of reflect with himself about in the next few paragraphs that come, remind me that it's partly because he doesn't have a connection with God, that the disease has blocked him. So he's kind of like grappling inside himself for straws of, wait a minute, can I relate to Eddie on this? And then, of course, he begins to just pontificate and think like, well, what does this mean to me? But all of that is after the depth and weight that he was able to connect to, not because Ebby started out talking about religion or preaching to him, but because he shared, I'm like you. He knew he was one of him. I don't recover and I don't become willing because I hear other people intellectually talking about how to recover from addiction. I become open and interested because I have spoken to people who have done it themselves. And that's the depth and weight that has changed my life, that is now my responsibility to pass on so that I can give hope to others. And I just am so deeply grateful to have the ordered way of untangling the big knot of this mess of a disease inside of me to know that I've got to hear from people I relate to. I got to hear the program, what happened to them and what works, and this unblocking process so that I don't ever have to go back to these childhood memories and kind of like stretch my brain to kind of think, well, what do I think about God? Because God is a daily, daily part of my life. And if I keep God daily in my life and building that close relationship with him, he will guide me and I will treat myself on a daily basis. Thank you so much for listening. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl A. Danielle W., please share with us.
Hi, this is Danielle W., a compulsive overeater with 37 days of abstinence. Thank you for everyone's shares and this topic. I so relate to this. You know, when I started working my second step, I had to take ownership of my own resentments and prejudice against religion. When I started in the room, I was so desperate, but I would bristle when I would hear the word God. And I had to look back and realize, you know, I was raised in a home. My dad is a man of science and very much an atheist. My mom is a devout Catholic. And they couldn't reconcile. And so the plan was the first daughter of me would be raised Catholic. The second would be raised atheist. So I had a lot of resentment that I had to be going to church. And my father, you know, he sort of taught us that people who believed in faith or were religious in any way, you know, weren't as smart. And so I adopted all of these untruths. I just carried them without question. So when I was asked to, you know, identify the God of my understanding, wow, you know, I couldn't place blame. I couldn't avoid. I had to get honest. And really reflect on what that meant to me for the first time. And, you know, today I can't even imagine my life without my higher power. I don't start my day without connecting. I don't make a decision. I turn my life over. I have this amazing relationship that was missing from my life. And I'm so grateful today. And I can come to my higher power with, you know, as my healer or my coach or, you know, my teacher or my guide or whatever it is that I need. And that's available to all of us. I never understood that. I was so focused on the concept of organized religion or resentment about the way religion was operating, that it never occurred to me to try to create a personal relationship. And boy, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for my own disease because I never would have made my way here. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. Deb E., please share with us.
Hi there. I'm Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And the part of this paragraph that stood out to me is this line, "My grandfather's good-natured contempt of some church folk and their doings." And growing up, I believed in a higher power. I never kind of questioned its existence, but I didn't live a religious life at all. And I interpreted my parents' view of religion as a negative one. So as I kind of stopped on the word content here, I looked it up, and it says, "The feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving scorn." And this beneath consideration really resonated with me today, because I never considered following any kind of direction from a higher power. I thought it was just about praying for things, which in my mind, growing up, praying meant asking for things or asking for things not to happen, you know, what I wanted to happen or what I didn't want to happen. It never occurred to me that I should be praying to a higher power for guidance and direction, which is what I've learned in OA and what I do on a daily basis today. It also reminds me of the comparison between, like, you know, he's thinking back to his childhood. And when I compare, when I think back to, like, there are a lot of great things I learned in my childhood. There are a lot of things that I learned in my childhood that did not serve me, and that I've had to kind of relearn in program. And some things that I've had to undo. And so there's this also this comparison between, you know, my old way of living and my old beliefs and the new way of life I've found with the 12 steps. And that I know better now. And I know how to live a spiritual life and how it serves me so much better. And that I choose to follow that instead. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Deb E. Patty T., please share with us.
Hi, yes, thank you, Kathy, so much for your service. And gosh, thank all of you for all these amazing shares this morning. They are exactly what I needed to hear. So what I want to talk about is this part where it says he's referring to his grandfather, but it strikes me that this is who I am in my disease. His denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen. You know, I'm that compulsive eater who will reach out for help, and then when I'm told or suggested what I can do to help myself get closer to God and to get out of self, I rebel against that immediately. My defiance comes up like gangbusters. And only until we read this today did I realize that, because the levels of my denial are so great. His denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen. I am not a listener. I am a talker. Whew. I can talk till the cows come home. But I can't always hear God. And sometimes, even when I do hear God, I wave him away like a gnat. Like, no, I want what I want. And, you know, that's just a reminder to me today that I really need to pray for acceptance of who I am as that person, and also to ask God for the humility to listen, to be open, to be teachable, because that is the only ammunition I have against this disease. Truly, it really is. I am willful and arrogant and egoistic. I just am, and that's just who I am. So I really appreciate all these shares today, and I am so grateful to this program and this fellowship. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Evan, we have 2 minutes for your share. Please share with us.
I'll take it. Thank you. This is Evan from California. I really love this reading, as Ebby is bringing up, it was religion that did it. Bill's going back in time and doing this inventory. He's like, wait, could it possibly be that? And all the memories are coming up. And, you know, when I was 13, I joined a church group and I became a born-again Christian, much to the chagrin of my father, who was a devout atheist, and he would ridicule me openly. And when I was 17, I had a spiritual awakening, and I saw that I couldn't really see any difference between the people that I had direct contact with in church and the people out in the world. And I just had this real strong hit that God was available to every person everywhere, you know? And so I began this sort of spiritual quest and studied all kinds of different religions. And when I got to 12-step, the way that it deals with religion and spirituality, that it's inclusive, just means everything to me. And today I feel like I can talk about God in any language, in any way with anybody. And, you know, because for me, God's an experience. And, you know, my third step is to continue to stay connected to that experience of God. And the words don't matter much to me these days. And I feel like I don't know of an institution that has more integrity and is more amazing than the 12-step institution, and it really respects that aspect, that each of us is having this experience with the infinite and divine, and everybody's going to talk about it in a slightly different way. And that's amazing and beautiful that such a thing exists that can bring us together and not separate us. So very grateful to be here and to be a part of this group and this amazing phone meeting. So I hope you guys will have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Evan Yu, and thank you to everybody. We're going to start closing the meeting now, and we're going to do that by having, Robin P. read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, on page 164. Robin?
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico, and very grateful to be here today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.